Good morning. We are in our final chapter of Romans today, Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Please read along in your Bible or it'll be on the screen behind me. Romans 16, verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphnia and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philogulus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise as to what is good, and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason, and Sopater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just pray together before John comes and opens God's word and speaks to us. Father, we thank you for how you have revealed yourself through your word. Thank you for revealing yourself and your Son, and through your word, thank you for revealing about ourselves through your word as well, and revealing a plan of salvation, the plan of salvation that you've made for us through Jesus, and through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. Thank you for that you've revealed this all to us through your word, and we can know you, even though we're but sinners, rebels, rebel against you, Lord, and in every way, Lord, we are born your enemies. Yet we thank you that you've made a way for us to be made right, that we can come into your presence. Thank you that we can be saved. Thank you that we can be adopted into your family through what Jesus has done, and through our faith and through faith in what he has done for us on the cross. Father, just pray you be with each of us here. Thank you for each one that's gathered, and just pray you be with each of us this morning. I pray that you would have a word for every single person, Lord, that you would speak into each of our hearts, Lord, and whatever has gone on in the past week, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to hear from you this morning. Father, we look to you for the upcoming outreaches, Lord. I just think of the light party coming up, and for the greatest gift that's coming up as well, and just for the opportunities that they are. Just pray that you would help us as we prepare for those. And just pray that you would prepare hearts and prepare souls, Lord, and pray that you'd be speaking even right now into lives, Lord, and pray that your gospel, Lord, that your word would be clear and would be shared clearly to the folks that would be at those, Lord, and just pray that you would save and draw to yourself. Father, we pray for our mission partners, pray for Duncan and Becky, and pray for the church in Redeemer Church in Dublin. I pray that you would be with them as they meet this morning. I pray that you'd be with new folks as they come along. I pray that there'll be others that'll come along even in these coming weeks as well, even leading up to Christmas, that there'll be contacts made and there'll be new folks come along, and that you would work there, and that you would work in hearts and lives and just build up connections. And I pray that you would save. Pray for that you would provide everything that they need. I pray that you would be with them in their weekend away that's coming up as well. I pray that you would bless them as a fellowship. Pray that you would encourage them, and that they'd be encouraged in your word, and that they'd build each other up in you through your word. And Father, pray for Jacob as well. Pray for Jacob and Elizabeth in India. Pray that you'd be close to them, be near to them. Pray especially for Elizabeth, for her health, Lord, and I pray that you would minister to her, touch her, heal her. I just pray that she'd know your healing hand on her life, and I pray that you'd be with them in the work that they're involved in. Be with them in the marriage of their daughter coming up in a couple of weeks, Lord. I pray that that will be a blessed time, and they'd have a great time just celebrating that marriage, Lord, and giving glory to you. And just for the schools that they're planning, Lord, and just that you'd give favor with the government, Lord, and with whatever authorities need to be to give the approval, Lord. I just pray that you would work in that. Father, just pray for Father, pray for our world at this time as well. Pray for the Middle East especially at this time. I pray that you'd be there, Lord. I pray that the hostages would be able to come home. I pray that you would, that the violence and that the ceasefire, Lord, would hold, and that there would be peace. I pray that you would be with the Gazans as they move back towards their homes, Lord, and try to rebuild. I pray that you would be near them, that you would help them. Pray for your hand and upon that land, and I pray that there would be peace. And we know that ultimate peace, Lord, is only found in you, and I pray that there'd be many would even trust you and find you as Lord and Savior of their lives. And pray for Ukraine as well. Pray continue help for the folks that are in Ukraine, the churches that are there, and believers that are struggling. And just pray that you would encourage them. Pray that it would be peace, Lord, in that land as well. I pray that your hand would be upon your people and help them as they reach out to others around them. Father, thank you for this time. I pray you would be with John as he opens your word. I pray you would give him the words that you would have him to say. I pray that you would use him. I pray that you would minister to him and to us, Lord, and speak to us as you see fit this morning. I pray that you'd be with our kids' spaces as well. You would speak there also. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Brian. And thank you for reading those 25-some names. All not that easy to pronounce. Thank you for bearing with it and doing that for us. So, today we have reached the final stop in our journey through Romans. Romans chapter 16. And if you've been with us for the entirety of the series, you'll have noticed that a couple of times and at a couple of different junctures, there has been a shift in the way that the Apostle Paul has addressed the church in Rome. Chapters 1 through, let's say, 11 are a gospel theology. He has taken us through what the gospel actually is. Romans chapter 1 through 11 is the gospel. It is what it entails, what it's about, and what it does, and all that. Then from chapter 12 through to chapter 15, Paul, the Apostle Paul, outlines for us how we should live in light of the gospel. That's, if you want to split it into three sections, if you take away from Romans, if you want to split it into three sections, they're very clear three sections. There is the gospel, 1 to 11, 1 to 12. 12 through to 15 is how we live in light of the gospel. And then there's another shift here in chapter 16. And the shift that Paul makes here in chapter 16 is not just a throwaway ending to the letter. It's not just, all right, I need to sign off here now. They're getting sick of me. I need to write something down, so we'll just write this here, and we'll wrap this up in a nice bow, and that'll do them. No, this is intentional. The ending of Romans chapter 6 and chapter 16 is an intentional finish by the Apostle Paul. And if we remember, even in the Gospels, what we say about the Gospels, when it comes to the end of the Gospels and Jesus leaves his final instructions, as it were, to the disciples, I've said this often, those are often the most important things that need said. At the end of the Gospels, when Jesus leaves his final words to the disciples, he says, "Go into all the world, make disciples." That's some of the most important words that Jesus said to his disciples. And so it is with Paul. In chapter 16, these are some of the most important words that Paul has to say in the whole of the book to the church in Rome. It's not a throwaway ending. It is the gospel embodied. What do I mean by that? Well, it shows us what the gospel produces in people, or what the gospel should produce in people. We have here a list of 25 names Paul lists at the beginning of chapter 16. And what Paul is showing us here is that the gospel doesn't happen in some abstract theological way. It happens in community. Or at least it is supposed to happen in community. You've probably heard the little song in Sunday school, "You in your small corner and I in mine." Yes? Who has ever heard that song? Yes. The vast majority of you will have heard that song. That song is unfortunately theologically very incorrect. Because it's not about you in your small corner and I in mine. It's about us, the church, doing the work of God together. That's what it's about. And that's what the end of Romans and chapter 16 is all about. And so if we split it into three parts again today, we'll see very clearly. It shows us here what gospel, first point is what gospel partnership looks like. In the church and outside the church. What gospel, genuine gospel partnership should look like. Second of all, what we see Paul here say is gospel discernment. What gospel discernment looks like. And then what gospel worship looks like at the end, the very end of the chapter. So, what kind of a church does the gospel create What kind of people should we become because of the gospel? Romans 16 is the answer to that. And it's not just, as I say, some abstract theory. It puts names and faces, warnings and worship all together. It's not just what we believe about the gospel, but how we live the gospel out. So, Paul begins chapter 16 by commending a woman called Phoebe. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church. Right? So that word servant is really important. So that word servant in the Greek is diakonos. You'll not need to be a Greek scholar to work out where we get our word deacon from. So that might as well read, it could very well read in the English, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church. That's what the word means, that word servant, that's what it basically means. It means servant, but it means deacon. And so, just as a wee throwaway, this is genuinely why we in Cornerstone Church believe that we should have women on our deacon board. And we can have women on our deacon board, because Paul references it here very, very clearly that Phoebe, a female, was a deacon, a servant of the church. So it's as clear as day there from that that's what we should have. Whether we think it's a formal office or an informal office, that's debatable. But what that word means is deacon. But Paul commends her. He commends her. He wants to elevate this woman in particular. Give her a special recommendation. Because he sees her work as faithful labor for the Lord. Faithful labor for the Lord. John Calvin said, it is no small praise of Phoebe that the Holy Spirit has designed to record in the Holy Scriptures a testimony to her liberality. Paul just doesn't mention Phoebe in some sort of passing. He lifts her up intentionally. Someone who is worth recognition for her hospitality, for the way that she serves the church, for her help. And this, to me, sets a powerful precedent of how the church should value men and women who serve faithfully in the church. You see, we should recognize and affirm those who serve faithfully in the church. Paul does it. The Scriptures do it. Those who contribute to the work of ministry in a tangible, often quiet, often unseen way. We as the church should recognize those people. You see, the church isn't all about upfront ministry. I continue to hammer this nail. The church is only the church, and the church is at its best when its members play their role and do the work of ministry. That's when the church is at its best. And those who serve quietly, behind the scenes, faithfully, just getting on with it, deserve recognition. And Paul recognizes such a one here in Phoebe. The church should cultivate a culture that honors service, not status. The church should cultivate a culture that honors service, not status. So Paul commends this lady, Phoebe, as one who serves the church. But then he goes on and he greets and sends greetings to a list of 25 people. And what this is, it shows us this beautiful tapestry in the early church in Rome of Jews, men, women, Jews, Gentiles, Every single background that you could think of was gathered in that church in Rome. Some risked their lives, Priscilla and Aquila. Others hosted house churches. Others served the apostles. But they were all beloved because of their faithfulness. Their faithfulness. You see, that's the reality of the church. The church and the gospel brings together a diverse group of people. We're all different. There's not two people in this room the same. And that is one of the things that we should celebrate. It is one of the things that is just inevitable about the gospel. We shouldn't all look the same. We shouldn't all be the same. If the gospel is going out in our community and people are being reached by the sound of the gospel, the church should reflect what the community looks like, and it should look different. We shouldn't all be from a cookie cutter and all look the same. The gospel brings together this diverse group of people that we see here in Romans 16. That's what the church should look like. But notice what Paul is doing. What he's doing is he's commending the church on how they have worked together. These are not all individuals, they in your small corner and I in mine. They are a church united, serving the same God with the same purpose, with the same mind, for the same outcome. And that's why he commands them. A group of individuals, yes, but one body serving the same purpose. If we go back through chapters 14 and 15, that has been the theme. Lay down your agenda. Lay down your agenda. Pick up the agenda of the gospel and run with that. So that will mean, as we looked at chapters 14, 15, for us as a church, many of us as individuals will need to sacrifice our own agendas for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of the gospel in this place. You might want your thing. I might want my thing. But my thing doesn't matter. And your thing, with all due respect, does not matter if they do not serve the purpose of the gospel as a church. As a church. So what we see here very clearly in Romans 16, the beginning of the chapter, is Paul commending Phoebe in particular, a deacon in the church, but then commending this list of over 25 names, but how they work together as the church. Let me ask us a question. Is that true of us? As Cornerstone Church, cannot be said of us, as members of Cornerstone Church, cannot be said of us that we are serving the one purpose, or are we all off doing our own little thing? To serve our own purposes. So that we can build our own egos up. So that we can receive the pat on the back. Or are we humbling ourselves and sacrificing our own agendas for the sake of the gospel? That's what Paul commands the church for here in Rome. Let's be a church like that. And not a church that serves our own agenda. Second of all here, Paul very quickly changes to gospel discernment. And this has been his theme for the last three chapters. Unity in the church. Unity in the church. Let's just read this. I appeal to you, brothers. Again, you have to know what he's saying here. You have to get the urgency behind what he's saying. These are his final words here. I appeal to you, brothers. It's not some throwaway comment. I appeal to you. Watch out for those who cause divisions. And create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Avoid them. What is Paul talking about here? Well, Paul is saying that it is not wrong for the Christian and for the Christian church to watch out for those who want to cause them harm. In fact, it is wise to do so. It is not sinful to be watchful for those who would come in amongst us. And Jesus said there would always be those who come in amongst the flock to devour them and to create division and to create disunity and to take sheep out. It will always happen. So what is he saying? Watch out for them. Watch out. Let's take a look at what these people are like. Let's take a look here at what these people who are like that come in to cause division. Right? They come in to cause division, to create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that has been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve the Lord, but they serve their own appetites. There we go. They are self-centered. It's all about them. All about them. They serve their own appetites. They are not for the good of the church. They are not for the building up of the saints together as one body. They are all about themselves. They serve their own appetites by smooth talk and flattery. They are talkers. They are talkers. They love to get into little corners with each other and cause division by the words that they say. They love to get people who are of like mind together and have little conversations about the church and about this and about that, that will sow division amongst the church. They are smooth talkers. They use flattery. So that when they're with you, they'll blow smoke where smoke should not be blown. But as soon as you have your back turned, as soon as you have your back turned, they would stab you in the back as quick as look at you. They cause division. Paul says, watch out for these people. Now, in 13 years of full-time ministry, in 20 years of ministry generally, I have come to realize that I, through my words, cannot cause one anxious thought amongst the people that I speak to. But I have come to realize that the Holy Spirit, through His power, can do that. And so I stop now, I stop intentionally, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to some of you, because this is some of you. You love to talk.
You love to sow division. You love to sow discord amongst God's people. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict you of that sin and lead you to repentance. Because that's what needs to happen. Repentance. Paul says, watch out for these people. They come in amongst the flock to do them harm. They are divisive and they are deceptive and they use flattery to do so. R.C. Sproul says this, heresy is not only false teaching. Listen to this. This is important. Heresy is not only false teaching. It is divisive teaching that departs from the apostolic truth. False teaching is not just inaccurate, it is destructive. And so, folks, I appeal to you as Paul appeals to you here at the end of Romans chapter 16. Use your discernment. Not every voice is worth following. Not every voice is worth listening to. Use your discernment. Evaluate. Never, ever let charisma override content. Someone who sounds good, who sounds maybe as if even they know what they're talking about, never let that override the content of what they're saying. And what does Paul tell us to do with such people? This is important. What does he tell us to do? Avoid them. Avoid them. Pretty clear. If someone is sowing discord, if someone is sowing disunity in the church, avoid them. Now, a word of pastoral teaching on this. Paul is speaking to the church, right? So the church body is saying, if you find people like this in the church, avoid them, right? For us as elders, however, we do not have that luxury. What are we to do with people like this? What are we to do with wolves that come in sheep's clothing and try and kill the flock and distort the flock? We are called as elders to put a bullet in their head. That's what we're called to do as elders. Any shepherd worth their salt who has a wolf among the flock will kill it. That is not your responsibility. That is ours. And that is on us. But your responsibility is to avoid them. Give them a wide berth. Leave the shooting of the bullets and the heads and stuff to us. All right? That's our job as elders. But you're to avoid them. It's pretty serious words from Paul. He's not messing. This is serious. The damage that can be done with divisive chat is serious. And needs to be taken as such. So be discerning. Be discerning. Paul then, after this final instruction here to avoid those who cause division, he moves very quickly then on to what we know as a doxology. And that is, he just ends in worship, basically. So gospel, the church should look like gospel partnership, on board, doing it together, working for the Lord, being in it together. That's what it should look like. It should look like gospel discernment. Watch out for those who are coming in to do you harm. Be careful of them. Avoid them. That's what it should look like. Then, what should the gospel produce in a church like that? Worship. Worship. And that's where Paul finishes. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you. Anybody weak in here this morning? Anybody feel weak in their faith?
Look at these words. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but has now been disclosed. Paul is bursting forth here with worship. You'll find out at the end of Paul's letters, he's dealing with some really serious stuff, and then all of a sudden he just can't control himself, and he just bursts out in worship. And through the prophetic writings has been made known to all the nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God. Be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. So what does gospel worship look like? It looks like it can strengthen you. It looks this morning like it can strengthen you. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you, you can't strengthen you. I can't strengthen me. When it comes to spiritual issues, I cannot do it. You cannot do it. To him who is able. And so if you're in here this morning and you've come in here feeling spiritually weak, feeling spiritually down, feeling spiritually whatever, do not, for the love of all the children, do not lean on your own strength to strengthen you, because you can't. But pray to him who can and ask for it. Ask for strengthening, because he's the only one that can. B.B. Warfield said, the gospel is not merely a message. It is divine power that establishes men in Christ. It strengthens. And finally, it gives all glory to the only wise God. Scripture again and again and again says these words. Be not wise in your own eyes. Be not wise in your own eyes. Says that on repeat. But there is one who is wise. And he is the only wise God. Paul ends here this great theological letter with worship. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. John Stott finally says, the whole letter has been a presentation of the gospel of the glory of God. And it fittingly ends on that note. So, in evaluation, are we a church? Are we a church that is working together for the good of the gospel and for the glory of Christ? Not you in your small corner and I in mine. But us in our big togetherness. Are we a church that is exercising spiritual discernment? Seeing wolves amongst us when they're there. Doing what the Apostle Paul calls us to do, either to avoid them, as for us as elders, deal with them. Are we doing that? And are we worshiping the only true and wise God? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us. Father, as we close our time in Romans, Father, I pray that through the Spirit, you would be doing a work in our hearts. We are so aware that we can't do one spiritual thing on our own. Jesus made that abundantly clear. Without me, you can do nothing. So, Father, help us, we pray. Convict us where we need conviction. Encourage us where we need encouragement. Help us where we need help. And lead us to worship of the only true and wise God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.